Welcome to the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast on Mint Wave Radio and all podcast platforms. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer with an online program and would like to find out how to grow your business whilst having fun podcasting, go to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free. Let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to the show. And today we have Sherry Cutter. She's a master trainer and practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, hypnosis and coaching. And today we're going to be talking about next level. Sherry Cutter's next level NLP, combining somatics and mindset for growth and expansion. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, just helping coaches and therapists get their message heard to the people who need it through podcasting. So Sherry is a leading expert on the mind-body relationship. Her experience as a physical therapist combined with her study and teaching of the subconscious mind allows her to deeply affect those that she works with on many layers. So Sherry, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and you're lovely and so welcoming and it's just a pleasure. I'm really happy.
First question then, Sherry, what inspired you to move from being a physical therapist into NLP and helping people who are stuck change their mindset?
So I loved my physical therapy. I do a kind of work that is very much change from the inside out. Okay. It's not the most traditional physical therapy, but I've been in business since 1993. And I started out as an English and French lit major. I've had many careers and took a bike trip in New Zealand and met people that were physical therapists and decided that I just got so excited. I hadn't been that excited about anything. So I moved into physical therapy, had to do all the math and science that I had avoided my whole entire life, became a physical therapist, and just, it was so right. It was so right. And do craniosacral work, myofascial, a lot of work that just is very subtle but deep, which is how I feel about NLP. I'll get to that. I just feel like it helps unravel people from the inside out in a good way, unravel. So years into physical therapy, you know how you do something for a long time and you start, your focus is different. You start noticing the things that maybe you didn't notice before. And what I began to notice was, why do some people do so incredibly well when they've had huge things happen in their lives? All right. I use a friend of mine as an example. She was in dental school in San Francisco and went out for a jog, stepped into the street, got hit by a muni bus, was told she would never walk again, she would never have children, never work as a pediatric dentist, which was her dream. And she was my running partner for 25 years. She has three grown children and worked as a dentist. And she is just an example, and there's so many people like that. But what is it that allows some people to get past huge, huge events in their life, significant events in their lives, and other people get, and I use this lightly, but more or seemingly smaller events in their life, and they're completely stuck, right? And working with people like I have for so long, and also working within the systems, which I don't know there, I know what they are here, but with workman's compensation and motor vehicle accidents, there's a systemic situation that has caused for people to stay in their secondary gains, to stay in their unwellness, so to speak. So they're getting a benefit from staying hurt or injured. They're getting love, they're getting rides, they're getting attention, they're getting food, right? So this is all starting to be where my attention or what I'm noticing more, still doing my work, still doing my best, still helping people, still showing up. And I listened to Bruce Lipton was doing a podcast, or, you know, he was talking, and I probably heard it 1,000 times, but you know how you hear something when you finally hear it? And Bruce Lipton said, the way to make change with people, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, is you have to access the subconscious mind. And I was like, what? Like, I've done so many classes, so many courses, so many things in my life, but I had never heard that until I heard it, right? And he said hypnosis is the best way of doing that. So locally, I started going down the rabbit hole of hypnosis, okay? Which is, you know, hypnosis is accessing the subconscious mind, right? Traditional therapy is conscious mind. And from there, I took a coaching class, which I was like, coaching, really? Because I was not from that world, even though that's what you do all day, right? As a physical therapist. So I took a coaching class, and it was part of an NLP institute. I had known about neuro-linguistic programming long time ago, but I was so busy doing all the things, and amazing that I've 180'd back into this. But the thing about NLP, and I'll, you know, talk more about that if you'd like, you know, hypnosis is allowing the conscious mind to take a rest and working with the subconscious mind. And traditional therapy is working with the conscious mind, but NLP is the marriage of both. So it's alignment of the conscious mind and subconscious mind, and getting the congruency within ourselves to feel the right way, act the right way, be the right way, and be able to achieve the things we want in life with that combination of the conscious mind and the subconscious mind together.
I mean, it sounds so simple. What people want, you know, what their goals are, if that's in the conscious part of their mind, if the subconscious isn't in agreement with it, then yeah, it's hard work. When you align the two, it can flow a lot easier. Is that what I'm getting from that?
Yes. And the trick is getting them in alignment, because you're right. Like, it sounds so easy. Oh, let's control our thoughts. Right. Right. And that's where I'm taking. So I've been teaching, I've been training for this company for 4 years, which is amazing. I chose to train, and that's how I segued into this, was I really wanted to learn this. I knew it was the right way for me to go and the right way for me to start bringing this out into the world, because I do believe the more people that we can influence in this way, that the better the world will be. It's a trickle effect, as you know, one person to one person, but the more we have, the more it spreads. So I've been teaching and training for 4 years, and it's been wonderful. And then I just took a master trainer program with Robert Diltz, who is one of the kind of the unsung hero founders of NLP, and one of the most lovely, lovely people I've ever met. And he teaches all over the world. Like, he's all in Europe and England and Australia, all over. And his approach was really much more of what I'm used to being a body worker, is that somatic approach of really being able to take the information, not just cognitive, but bringing it inside. And so that's my mission. My vision at this point is to being able to teach people how to really embody the principles. And yes, it is work. No matter what anybody says, even though you can change beliefs, you can change your focus very quickly. Sometimes it takes steps to get there, and then it feels like a second and you're changing your focus. So
who are you helping? Who is your audience? Who would come to you to get help with this? Because, you know, a lot of people may not know. I mean, we don't know what we don't know, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, how would people find you, and what are they coming to you for?
Yeah. So at this stage of my life, my career, my treatments, I'm getting a wide variety of people. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because when you start out in this world, the advice is pick your avatar, pick your niche, right? Because if you're too spread out, you're not able to really be as effective. The caveat to that is that you also learn to stay in the structure with people, not the content. This is important. People will tell you your story, their story, but what you're listening for is the structure of the problem, the things that you can help with. So when you have that in place, you can help anyone because you're not getting stuck in the content, okay? However, when people are starting with this, it is good to pick the where your heart is, right? So my heart tends to be with a lot of different people. I have done business coaching because I've had my own businesses since 1991. So I have been a business coach. I've worked with all sorts of small businesses mostly. I haven't done corporate, but small businesses. And that was great. And I've moved much more into personal development. So I work with people who are needing to get over the negative loops in their heads, people who are, you know, to simplify it, it's, you know, people who are having trouble sleeping, people who are having trouble with motivation, people who are procrastinating, people who need some internal work to just realize their limiting beliefs, realize all the perceived obstacles. And really just, I'm working with just about anyone, male and female. I like both. It's different. And working with them to really just take in how to change the thought patterns, how to move from our perceived obstacles. Because, you know, I mean, we have so much information out there that it's our thoughts, right? It's our thoughts. It's not the situation that's happened. It's the response to. So, yes, when you ask who I work with right now, I have just, it's all over the place. The things I don't work with, I don't personally work with heavy childhood, and we all have trauma, but heavy abuse issues. I'm not a therapist, so I do refer that out. So I don't work with things that I don't feel comfortable with, but with all the things happening in the world right now, I am working with, you know, people getting over the whole COVID change that has happened, the concerns and fears of the world. So it really is people who are just having internal obstacles that they want to figure out how to release. I have teenagers, I have 80-year-olds, you know, so at this stage of my career, because I am working with people my whole entire life, I'm pretty able and open to working with that. Whoever needs help, you know.
Anybody who needs help if they're feeling stuck in any way or fearful. So again, it, you know, it sounds so simple, you know, and some of us might be aware of our limiting beliefs. Some people may not be aware of their limiting beliefs. So how do you help them get over this? Do you have a specific process to do this?
Yes. So part of the beauty of NLP and why I've chosen it as my, it's not my only, but it's my main way of helping people, is a lot of the work that you do first is on a more subconscious level. It's not just subconscious. In other words, it's not hypnosis, which is 100% subconscious. I do that. But we do something, there's techniques that we do, time techniques, parts integration. You know, if I give you details, we'll lose the audience. But there are techniques that work on an internal level that help people get rid of the baggage that they've been carrying for a long time. So I typically will, not even starting with the cognitive parts of things, I take an interview, good interview, find out what's going on, and then first work on what we can release on that subconscious level, using the conscious mind too with it, but it's more subconscious. And then from there, we start focusing on more of the conscious, like what do people want? What are their goals? What is the improvement they want? So NLP, because it does marry the two, I start with the technique and the process part of let's start and just release the things we can that aren't serving you. People are very excited about this because it's a way of releasing things that are not serving you, right? So it's a way, and it doesn't, you don't have to relive trauma. You do go back into a felt sense of memory. It's a learning process. It's a learning, what are you to learn from this event? So it's a process of eliminating subconscious memories, subconscious things that are holding you back. And then we go more into, all right, what is it that you want out of life? And we segue into that. So the first step is doing these certain techniques from NLP, which are time techniques, parts integration, work with submodalities, which are the qualities of how you're labeling things. That's a big one. And I work a lot on communication and how we are describing ourselves, right? There's a whole thing called layers of the mind, neurological layers, where identity is at the top of this pyramid. And it's also at the top, meaning the deepest into the subconscious. Do a lot of work with working on identity, all the things that we've heard our whole life that we tend to have made a belief about ourselves, and working on how to change how we are expressing ourselves to the outside world, because that's what's going inside of us. And people don't realize this. This, one of the first things I do is the I ams and the I am nots, and help people just start changing their language and how they're labeling situations.
It's really interesting because I was just thinking to myself there that I'll make jokes about things, and, exactly. And people have pulled me up on it because they'll say it's a negative. And I think to myself, oh yeah, what am I trying to, you know, I'll make a joke about myself or something in some way, but in a way it's really putting myself down. And it's just so funny. I find it so fascinating the way we talk to ourselves.
Exactly.
It's normally far worse than we would ever dream to talk out loud to anybody else. And it's funny that, you know, I've noticed it in me because a few people have pulled me up on it, even when I've done these shows. Something I've said, and I've said it jokingly, I'm just trying to think of one. I say, you know, I love what I do because I'm quite nosy.
Because it is funny, though. There is an element of humor to that. So, you know, yes, like I totally understand, you know what I mean? But there's times where we are so, not that, but when we're so self-deprecating and we're just trying to be funny, and we also diminish our light so much. We diminish who we are, thinking it's going to make others feel better, but it's not. The way to make other people shine is to shine and be enthusiastic for others and encourage people and allow them to shine. And if you set the example for yourself, then other people are going to gravitate to that. But we're so used to pushing our light away.
Where do you think it comes from? I mean, I would say us Brits are probably better at this than, like, my perception of you guys is that you are actually more complimentary. You are more sort of, you know, rooting for the underdog, and whereas our society, we can be a bit sarcastic. It is done in jokes, but it doesn't matter. It's still a negative because we can be sarcastic with the things that we say. So how has this come about in our cultures to sort of be like that?
Yeah, I think that is something. I think it is cultural, and I think it's years of conditioning, because in NLP, okay, so the layers of the mind, identities at the top, deepest in, what happens with years of parents, teachers, life, I'm not holding parents or teachers, we're just, everyone's doing the best they can, right? So if a child does a behavior, okay, let's just say they make up a fib, they make up a lie, they do that. what happens is the feedback back to this child is, you're a liar, you know, you're this, you're that. Well, that transcends into identity level, which is that's what lodges inside. And so that, I believe, is just, it's the communication and language is, I have learned, so incredibly powerful for the good and for the not. So people don't do that on purpose. As a parent, you don't do that on purpose to your kids, like, you're a liar, you're this. The more we can teach people, though, that this is what is making people feel or take on beliefs about themselves on an identity level. So I do believe there are cultures. I mean, there are some cultures, of course, where it's like you can't praise someone because that's giving them a big head. You know, America goes back and forth, yes, with all these things like, you know, are we coddling our children too much? Are we giving them false senses? You know, so there's a lot of things that do play into it. But on a simple level, just learning language skills to use with others really helps to just being able to boost up people in a really positive way. But people don't know this.
That's the whole thing. This should be taught in school, shouldn't it? Imagine the children that would grow up from getting this at a younger age. So, I mean, you know, I think so many people do have so many limiting beliefs, maybe in different areas of their life, because it can cover everything. But what would you say is the main thing that holds people back from getting rid of some of these limiting beliefs that they've been carrying all their lives?
I think a lot of it is the external, because the biggest limiting belief is the disbelief in yourself. So whether it's low self-esteem, low self-confidence, and whether it comes from inside of you or because you've heard it your whole life one way or another, I do really believe that self-esteem is the bottom line in all of these. And that's not the easiest thing to change, right? However, if you can get rid of the limiting beliefs and in NLP, we do negative emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, which are things that the base five emotions, and we do time techniques around that to just eliminate the things we're carrying that's feeding into that lack of self-esteem, that lack of belief in ourselves. But I've had tremendous change with people because, how do I say it? It's there and it's strong. But I've seen it go like that. I mean, after we release some of the non-essential parts that we're carrying around with us, letting go of that anger that we've had to a situation that may have happened when we're 3 years old, that kind of thing. Not even having to get rid of the situation or, you know, forgive your parent or whoever it is, but just understanding that there was something to learn from it. There's something with the learnings in NLP that's very, very, very strong. And you're right, it's not an easy process. And how do you change self-esteem about yourself? But sometimes it just becomes a crutch too. It becomes a reason to not do something. And once you can get past that, and, you know, when I take people out of, so we do a lot of the emotional work and dealing with that on a subconscious level, releasing things, and people just change. The feedback is things are just different. The way that you are responding to the world is different. And then we do more baby steps to get people to where they want to be. Because sometimes it takes that on the, when you're more in the conscious, like, all right, now that we've worked with this, let's see where your focus wants to go. Taking it in a positive direction. That is a big thing with NLP is people's language. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want that. That's great. If you don't want this, what do you want? When you're not doing this, what will you be doing? Because as you know, your mind, the reticular activating system is in the subconscious mind. Whatever you're focused on, it kicks in. So that's another part that we spend a lot of time with.
That's a massive thing. Again, we've just been so conditioned. We can go throughout a whole day. Everything's gone perfectly. You know, all the things we should have, so many things to be grateful for, because there's things that could have gone wrong any single day. And yet people can have one thing that they go into work and talk about it to all their friends and get on the phone and, oh, yeah, this happened. And it's when you take a step back and, like, you know, I'm sure we've all done this at times, but, you know, what you're sharing there is what I'm getting from it. It's really about being aware.
100%.
We're going about our business and we're not giving it any thought until we dissect it and look back and see. Mm-hmm. And then you have the power to change. So I get why you're sort of combining it with, yeah, the conscious. You've got that's got to be a conscious decision make a decision to change.
Right. And
then I mean, hypnosis has fascinated me for years. I'm, you know, I do listen to a lot of meditation, you know. It's hypnosis. I like to be talked through stuff.
Yeah.
And I just see it as it's a shortcut.
It is, in a way.
I would just love to just download all my rubbish, please, my junk, and re-upload a new program. Come on, let's go straight there, reprogram it, and get back on track.
Have you actually had like a session? Is it just things you've listened to, or have you actually had a session?
No, hang on. I tell a lie. I was going to say no, I haven't, but I did. Well, actually, I don't know whether I should say it, because I didn't. I don't think I had very good results from it. It was to do with weight loss, but I only had one session, because when I left the fitness industry and I was a sports therapist, came online, of course, just used to sit in my chair. I put on a lot of weight because I was still eating, you know, I was in the habit. Of course, now I wasn't exercising and burning it off. But I don't know. I didn't have a great experience. However, I do listen to a lot of self-hypnosis tracks. But since then, I've never had a proper hypnosis session, though.
That's an interesting thing that you bring up. It's common, because I was a runner. I ran half marathons. I could eat anything I wanted. And then I tore the ACL of my knee playing tennis. And there went, yeah. So, you know, but I was still eating, you know, and I'm 5 feet tall and, you know, getting a little bit older in my life. So all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? And I did have to work at that. It was interesting for me. It was like a parts integration, which is something in NLP, which if you're ever interested, I'm happy to do this for you. But it's like, part of me wants to eat, I'm using my hands because it's what we do. Part of me wants to eat whatever I want. Part of me wants to fit into my clothes, you know? And there was this tug of war going on, right? And with the parts integration, what you find is that, so parts tend to take on a life of their own, and they're doing the best thing they can for you, but they're like, have their own agenda. So a parts integration helps the parts come together, and it just helps integrate what needs to happen next. It's amazing. Parts integration tends to be the key. Sometimes I'll do a hypnosis around it, and then the next session I'll do a parts.
And that sounds like it's going back to this, like you, the words you used there, was it's a tug of war. And that makes sense to me with the, you know, the conscious mind, the subconscious, you know, if they're not in alignment, there's a little bit of a, you're never going to get one way or the other.
I don't want to make it sound super simple. I want to make that is a process, and the person has to commit to it. It's not a fix. I'm not like fixing. I mean, I wish I had a magic wand sometimes. And it is a process that you do with someone, and there's different layers and levels to it. Okay. So it is communication. And awareness is 98%. Like, once you are aware of how you are communicating out, once you do like values elicitations and figure out your values around health and fitness, why you want to, you know, donate the weight and release the weight, then things become more aligned with the decision to do it. It's not a have to, it becomes much more of a congruency on how to move forward, but it is a process.
I would have thought one session is not enough.
Yeah, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I find with weight loss that I like doing three sessions because I take an interview. The first one is about, there's different aspects to it and they come up as you go. But I have found that three sessions with that seems to be a really powerful way because each time you go, when someone comes to you, they're going to give you the most superficial answers to your questions. And NLP has ways of digging down to the deeper structure, the deeper layers. But I find that each time there's more that comes out that you can release.
Got to get to the deeper level.
Exactly that.
Is there anything else that you've found working with people that what else sort of holds people back from creating total change in their lives?
Yeah, I think it really does come down to the trust and faith in yourself and also the desire. Like if you know, there's a book, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, all the rage, but I ignored it for years. I didn't know. And then I picked it up and it's all subconscious mind. And a couple of the things he says in there are really important. You have to have the desire. You have to have the desire. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're doing things because we have to or think we should. There's so many shoulds, right? Yeah. And so you have to get down to what is inside that is your passion. That's what I'm doing now more is getting people in touch with the passion and the vision because those are the things that, well, you don't have to have the how, but you have to have what's inside of you. And if you don't have that, if it's just make-believe or you're doing it because you have to, then you have to reframe it to find out what really is making the person drive, right? And sometimes it's not what you think. So that is one of the things. And then with the vision and the passion is finding ways of gesturing that, of making like a physical an emotional gesture of your passion and your vision and doing that like daily, keeping in touch with that. But I think that's the biggest thing. And I love this from the Napoleon Hill book is that if there isn't the desire, it's not going to move forward.
You know, sometimes people can actually be too comfortable. And
yeah.
This sort of links back to what you said right at the beginning. It's like, why some people, when they've had a really traumatic event, can find a way to focus on what it is they really, really, really want and come out of it, whereas some people don't. It's not because they're better or worse. It's something's going on, isn't it, in their processes, in the way they're talking to themselves, whereas other people, sometimes it takes that extreme thing to drive them forward because if too sort of comfortable, it's such a complex issue.
It's complex. I'll mention two things. Just one is cause, and we talk about living at cause, which is a taking responsibility. But what I really teach is we're either at cause or effect. Effect is the blaming of everything and everybody else. You hear this all the time with people. First thing we do in NLP is bring people to cause, let them become aware of it. And what that means is that you can't always be at cause for the things that happen in your life, right? There are things that happen that just, you can be 100% at cause for how you respond. I truly believe this and teach it. And you can be 100% at cause for how do you respond to the events in your life. And that I teach, it's such an empowerment. When you take the responsibility back into yourself, you are empowering yourself instead of putting it out there. And you're giving your power away. And people don't realize that.
100%. Yes, I totally agree. It is empowering because, yeah, you can't change anybody else, can you? You can only change yourself. So awareness, and it's not the, if somebody is caught in it, it's not, we're not saying, all right, that makes you a bad person or it's your fault. It's because nobody's taught you that actually this is going on.
It's life changing. That's how I started incorporating things into my physical therapy. Is I'd be, you know, have my hands on people, and I would say, "How are you at cause for that?" It was like, "What? What did you just say?" And then I would, you know, talk to them about it. But people don't realize. People feel like it's powerful to blame and find other people at fault for your life, right? However, when you start looking at, and I ask myself in situations all the time, you know, how am I at cause for this? Just to see my part. There's something we do, perceptual positions. First position is yourself. Second position is the other person. Third position is like a camera up on the ceiling, getting objective. It's a way of getting information about different scenarios. So, you know, and the other thing is, like you said, the comfort zone, which becomes the uncomfortable zone. Right? Like you have to growth is outside the comfort zone. It's not inside. That's another teaching. It's another awareness. And I teach people, like, do something simple. You don't have to like jump out of a plane every, you know, week, but wear different clothes. Walk a different, you know, be safe, all with ecology, you know, but walk a different way. Try a different food, you know, just anything to get us out of that routine, because after a while that comfort zone is the uncomfortable zone, as you know.
So if anybody's listening and they're thinking, okay, you know, maybe Sherry can help me with this. Yeah. If so, what should the listeners do next?
Right. So right now I'm working on my, you know, next level NLP website, but I do have a website, which is, I can send it to you, or you might have it, Imbalance Wellness. All right, .net. They can reach me through there. I have a phone number. Should I give it to you now? Or yeah, it's best way to reach me is at my office number, which is 530-470-0410. And on my website, I have, you know, things I offer, breakthrough sessions and coaching and all that. But I always talk to people first. Definitely do a complimentary discovery call to find out if we're a fit and what the person needs. And I have many packages that I offer. Some people just want coaching with NLP. Some people just want NLP. Some people want hypnosis. So there's a variety in there. And I work, you know, they're very individualized, tailored programs. So the best thing is to just reach out to me that way or email me, sherrycutter@gmail.com. That's my best one at the moment. Go from there, right?
Yeah. And so, right, thank you for being on this podcast, for starters. I mean, how do you see, do you guest on other podcasts too? Do you see it as a way to get your message out there?
I do, and I've been on a few. I was on, the most recent one I was on was interesting. It was a sober lifestyle, you know, and I'm not 100% sober, but they are. But it was just talking about, you know, a lot of that was about identity, because you have an identity a certain way when you do certain things and then you change, right? So it was very relevant, you know, again, staying in the structure, not the content. So no, I do like being on podcasts, and I am, you know, I've been training a lot. I travel and train all over the country. And I'm slowing that down so that I can now do other things. One is, I've wanted to do a podcast forever because I love talking to people, and people are my thing. So I want to start doing that with, I'm going to be hiring Karen to help me with that.
People need to know about this, don't they? I mean, this is where I suppose mine started, because, you know, again, unless you were introduced to it, and it's funny you mentioned the book, Think and Grow Rich. That was the first self-development book I ever bought, and I hadn't come into this realm. Yeah. You know, as I've said, I was in the fitness industry and sports therapy. It was actually through, I mean, my daughter's 24, so it's 23 years ago, It was a multi-level marketing company, which I was rubbish at, by the way. I couldn't sell products for a whole different thing. But what I learned from there was phenomenal. I can remember them recommending Think and Grow Rich, Who Moved My Cheese, and Psycho-Cybernetics. Yes. And that was, wow. Why didn't I learn this in school? You know, all the others, totally irrelevant as far as I was concerned. And I think this is why it's so powerful to have guests like you on sharing, you know, because a lot of people might have a, you know, their perception of what NLP is different to what you've shared. And this is why it's so
exactly
important to get it out there.
Yeah. And I think there's more heart, at least now, coming out with NLP, because it was very cerebral when it started with Richard Bandler and John Grinder. And as it's progressed, it's just become, at least in my world and how I do it, a much more heart-centered approach to it. And I think that's changed things. When I did this course with Robert Diltz, there were people there from all over the world. NLP is used in Vietnam, in China, in the schools, in Israel. It is so differently expansive in all these other countries. I had no idea. In the US, we're still, it's been around for 50 years, but it's been this up and down journey with it. So
that's so important, because it does all start with that. That will have an effect on the body. So I can totally see, you know, I left the industry a long time ago, but now I can see the relationship between this, because coming in, just being very, sports therapist, very physical, we didn't even learn about how to sort of ground our energy, because that was too woo-woo.
Coaching, oh please, you know.
You're bringing things together. So it's the mind, the body, and the spirit. And that's how everybody needs to focus on things, because that's what makes us human, right?
What we put in our mind just is in our bodies, and what we put in our bodies is in our minds. So, and our spirit, absolutely. So I'm really working on that embodiment piece. And yeah, I have a lot of trainers as clients, because they want to learn, and students that come through my courses, because they want to learn all this to help their clients.
And also, I think we all need, you know, doesn't matter where you're at, you're a coach or a therapist, we all need another coach.
We absolutely do.
Because it's not, you know, we're not all there, but he needs help through, whether you are the coach or whether you are the therapist. Thank you
for having me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. You have a wonderful day. To the listeners, I will be back next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to today's episode on the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer who would like to drive sales whilst having fun podcasting, head over to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free and find out how you can turn your podcast into a sales machine. We'll see you on the next episode.